This episode is sponsored in part by Boost Commerce. Looking to boost conversion rates? Of course you are. With Boost AI Search and Filter, turning more visitors into buyers is as easy as flipping a switch. Imagine a search bar that's actually helpful, where shoppers find what they want in a snap. With Boost, you get advanced product filters so customers can sort by size, price, color, and more. Plus, AI-powered search results mean no more endless scrolling. Need to highlight your best sellers or new arrivals? Boost merchandising tools make that easy. You'll get personalized, frequently bought together, and related items recommendations to help increase cart size. And the best part? No coding required. If you need a hand, Boost support team is always there to help. New customers can use the code KURT, that's K-U-R-T, to get 30% off for their first 6 months. Valid only for first-time customers. Start your 14-day free trial today by heading to the Shopify App Store and downloading Boost AI Search and Filter. Turn browsers into buyers with smarter search. Today on the show, a story about teeth. Yes, this is the unofficial Shopify podcast. I'm Kurt Elster, and we are going to discuss e-commerce and entrepreneurship today. It's not necessarily about teeth. It is more specifically what happens when a designer and dentist team up to rethink something as mundane and frustrating as flossing. So the episode, all right, it's not going to be entirely about flossing. It's about what it takes to build a physical product, connect with an audience, and then grow a business when the odds aren't in your favor because you are selling flossing. Power flossing. Well, we'll get into this. We are joined now by Bryn Snyder, who is the CEO and designer of The Slate Flosser. Bryn, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today. As a product designer, I'm excited to talk about more about how that is and what it's like and making a product that people want, and then having my husband help us design this. I mean, he's the brains behind it all. He thought meticulously, how do I get people to floss?
And so your husband is a dentist and you are a designer. What flavor of designer?
Okay, so I went to school to be a product designer.
Okay, perfect.
So that's the designer I am.
And what your product the slate in the business is the Slate Flosser. Tell me what it is. How is this different than, you know, just taking a shoelace and ramming it between my teeth like I do now?
Okay. Well, so what we learned is that everyone typically leaves the dental office with some type of floss, but for some reason they're not using it. So we were asking ourselves why. So we wanted to make our product easy to use and more effective to use because a lot of people use floss picks, which are easy, but they're not effective. Some of our patients would come in and they're like, I floss every day. And we're like, with what? And they're like, with my floss picks. And we're like, well, you're not stimulating your gums. So I don't know if you knew this, but 50% of Americans have gum disease.
I have a little bit of dental anxiety. I'm really bad about x-rays. It's so embarrassing, I gag. And so because of that, my solution is I am on top of my dental hygiene, and I love a good gum massage with my flosser. I've not used this product, but this sounds like the kind of thing I would appreciate, right? I got the electric toothbrush, the water pick, the floss. I am hardcore about this. And man, my dad had gum disease. He's like, oh, you don't want this.
Yes, you do not want gum disease. Your teeth can become wiggly. You get bad breath.
Like, can it also lead to heart disease?
Yes. So gum disease leads to heart disease, dementia, Alzheimer's. You can also the crazy thing about the bacteria in your gums, it can go parts of your body that no other germs can go. So it can go to your brain within like 60 seconds, the germs are there, and in your heart. And so if you needed heart surgery, you have to go to your dentist and get a letter that says, I do not have active gum disease right now.
And I don't have active gum disease right now, but I hope to not have have heart surgery in the near future. So if my current option for massaging my gums and, you know, proper hygiene is string floss or those floss picks, which I loathe because I find them all over parking lots. Just if you start looking at the ground, you'll see these things. People just like throw them out car windows. It's awful.
Well, that was actually like a major push for us. We hate that. And we're from Spokane, Washington. So we really care about the earth. And our floss heads, seven of them are equivalent to one floss pick. And so 52 of our floss heads is equivalent to 736 floss picks.
So I understand the problem and what we need to solve for. We have to make flossing effective, friendlier, faster, maybe. What inspired the idea for the Slate Flosser?
My husband, he was giving his patients the Reach Access Flosser, and still people were having issues with it. And one day he was flossing and he put his electric toothbrush and his Reach Access Flosser together. And he was like, an electric flosser has to exist. So he went and he looked, and there was one that came out in 1999 and one that came out before that. We said, well, why did they fail? And they were just pretty much glorified floss picks. And what we wanted to do was actually stimulate the gums so that you could remove the bacteria under the gum line, because hygienists are asking you to do what we call the C shape. So you're going to like wrap the tooth, go under the gums, clean out the biofilm that's underneath the gums. And so our product, we're like, okay, we don't want, if other people failed, we have to make ours better. So we actually designed what we call gum sweeps. They're little triangles on the side of our floss. So you roll it into your mouth and you go side to side, and it stimulates your gums, and the sonic vibrations, just like your electric toothbrush does a way better job. Now your electric flosser is stimulating your gums and you get a tactile response. So instead of like when you string floss, you almost get like a negative tactile response. When you use ours, you get a positive, like, my mouth feels clean.
So the pieces on the floss is suspended between, like, looks like two pieces of black rubber. Those also are part of massaging my gut. Like the space, it looks like it would fit in the space between my teeth.
For anyone who's watching this, I'll try to explain it so the listeners can hear it too. But what you do is you roll it in and you go side. Those little triangles go right where the gums and teeth meet.
Man, that looks satisfying.
Oh, it seriously feels so good. It feels like you go to the hygienist every day. And then something that we also know is that the back tooth is the first tooth extracted in a mouth usually, because it's not getting cleaned. So no one ever flosses this back tooth. Now with this, you're able to go here, grab both sides of the tooth and pull up. Every time I do it, I'm like, there's no way. I just brushed my teeth. How is there that much stuff? But then what we knew after designing that is once you've disrupted all the bacteria in your teeth and your gums, where does it go? It goes onto your tongue. And your tongue is like a towel. It has all these little hairs. So we designed back here, there's three rows, two rows to lift and rake the hairs of the tongue and one to squeegee it off. So
I could hear it. Oh, yeah, that's satisfying too. We're discovering things about me that I'm like just really into having a clean mouth.
Well, I'm so excited. Yeah. I'll send you one after the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I would 100% I'll use it. So designing something like this, it's complicated. One, I'm putting a power tool in my mouth. And then two, it's doing more than just flossing. Like there's several unique innovations here. Talk to me about that process and those challenges.
Yes, we had no clue. We thought it would be so easy, like electric toothbrushes exist. But what we learned is originally we thought we just put a floss head on an electric toothbrush. But what we learned is if the vibrations are not high enough, they do not stimulate the gums enough. And so a lot of people have their motors and their electric toothbrush down here. So we had to find the location of the motor to make the sonic vibrations effective, so they actually go and translate through the floss and our bristles and ribs. So that was a really big learning curve. Also, we have older patients and we had to make sure that dexterity was really good for them. We have little kids. I wanted my 3-year-old to be able to learn this habit so that he flossed for his whole life. So had to be small enough to fit in a 3-year-old's hand, big enough to be in a 70-year-old man's hand, and the neck needed. So this neck of our product mimics dental tools that my husband uses, so that it's the you can turn it, no matter how you turn it, it's going to go in the correct way.
Yeah, see, you handle it. It's very clear. It has like an intentionally ergonomic shape and design to it. It's not a simple product once you start looking at those details. How long did this thing take to develop?
My husband started talking about it in 2018, but didn't like do anything about it. And then in 2019, he was like, I want to do this. And I had just had a baby. And I was like, I think that, like, don't do that right now. And he was like, no, this is going to change the world. This is going to change people's oral health. People are going to have a completely different relationship with their dentist because they're going to be preventative focused.
Brandon from Montana Knife Company, who was on the show recently, had great advice. He said, you, as the product owner, brand owner, entrepreneur, need to be more excited about the product than your customer ever could be. And that's how you sell. And that's what I just heard. I mean, you were like, hey, don't do this. And he was like, no, we will change things and lives and health for the better. That's what it takes.
Yeah. And he was so passionate about it. And I was a little hesitant at first, but I said, if you can get dentists and hygienists to back you, I will 100% be excited about this. I worked at the dental office, so I knew how much people needed this tool. We had very educated patients that weren't flossing and had gum disease and were like 60. And they didn't want their teeth to be extracted, but they didn't want a string floss. So we were like, okay, well, if you don't do string floss in 5 years, your teeth are going to be gone. So the cool thing is we gave them these, and they, by their next appointment, their gum disease was under management, which is so cool because we saw patients, nothing changed for 10 years. All of a sudden they got our product and now their gums are healthy. So very excited about that.
So was that, did you do prototyping and user feedback in this journey, like with dental patients?
We actually sent our product to 500 hygienists before we did our Kickstarter.
Oh, wow.
I said, like, this is going to suck 5 to 10 years for sure of our life. If we can't be backed by dental professionals, I don't want to do this. There's some other products that came out that have great marketing that people in the dental industry just didn't back. And I didn't want to be one of those companies. So we sent it out and I was like, if you can get 50%, then we'll go to it. 95% of the hygienists said they'd recommend it to their patients. And 74% of them said it was better than any tool on the market at flossing and stimulating the gums.
Did you make design revisions based on their feedback? Did they provide, you know, early feedback as dental professionals?
Yeah. So my husband, we love the hygienists that work at his office. They had to be very patient because they gave him feedback like every single day. So he, to make our gum sweeps, he wanted to make sure that everything was like perfect, that it would go into everyone's embrasure areas perfectly. So he would actually shoot different types of composite into the tooth gap, like in here. And after he measured all the different peoples, he came up with the design. So three hygienists were very instrumental in helping him with this. And then we got the feedback from the 500. You know, we've learned a lot and we've grown.
So for you have a background in product design. This process, yeah, I think you went into it with eyes open a little bit, and that's why you had some hurdles that you wanted to see this product get through before you continued with it. And I think that's smart. But for people who don't have that background, this is the product development portion for a physical product. It's really intimidating. It intimidates me. What advice would you have for entrepreneurs who are intimidated by the complexities of product development?
So many things. So one is ask people who are not your friends and family, because they're going to give you completely different feedback than someone that's a stranger. They don't want to hurt your feelings. You need to make sure the product is something people want. So I would say, like, don't start something because it helps you. If you're a one case person, it's not going to be that helpful. We hired engineers to help us with the internal components, because a product designer usually works on like the outside of things and not on the internal components.
Ever wake up to customers canceling orders? Maybe they said, I shouldn't shop when I'm high. This was a gift. We broke up. Those are all real customer quotes. And they're all a real hassle for your customer and you. Why should the customer have to ask you to edit their order for them? What if they could do it themselves? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, you can empower your customers to make their own changes through a self-service portal. Cleverific is designed to reduce customer support tickets, ship orders faster, and even reduce returns and lost packages. Don't just take our word for it. Menswear retailer Peter Manning New York cut their order support queries by 99% with Cleverific. And they're not alone. Exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast, get 50% off Cleverific's Pro plan, now just $49 a month, giving you full access to everything Cleverific has to offer. Just go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use the promo code KURT50, that's KRUT50, at checkout to claim your discount. Take control with Cleverific and watch your customer support tickets plummet, shipping speeds increase, and package returns decrease. And all of that means happier customers. You sent it to Hygienist. You were able to develop it, refine it, validate it. How did the Hygienist still weren't the end customers. They would, you know, potentially be using it. They would be recommending it. But how did you validate that there would be demand for it when, you know, a lot of people hate flossing?
Yeah, so that was a really good thing to ask. So we decided to do a Kickstarter. So we did the Hygienist proof. We got that proof. Then we decided, okay, now we're going to do their Kickstarter. And we were able to raise $194,000. So almost $200,000 with our Kickstarter. And that showed me, okay, people are interested. In 30 days, we were able to do $200,000.
When did you run the Kickstarter? 2021?
Yeah, so October of 2021, we did the Kickstarter, and this is how naive I was. I thought we'll have our product in March because we already have the molds made, and we'll just go to the races. Everyone will get their product fast. This will be great.
But how long when they actually get it?
They got it in November of 2022.
Okay, so just under a year.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a pretty common story for Kickstarters. I mean, you were successful, you got it funded, and you delivered the product. That is difficult.
Well, I think it was so frustrating for me because I wanted to get it to people on time. If I set a goal or a budget or whatever, I really want to hit it. And so I felt a lot of internal turmoil not delivering it in March. But people were patient and kind mostly. Like, there's 10 people on Kickstarter who I'll never forget their names, and they were very nice.
The Kickstarter campaign was a success. Your goal was $10,000, and you hit almost $200,000 with 2,600 backers. I found the listing. It's got a lovely video that goes with it, which is critical. But running a Kickstarter is, we've learned, could be a full-time job. What was promo for that like?
Well, we did spend a lot of money on ads. We spent, I think, $45,000 on ads. So it was more than we had budgeted, but, you know, we didn't expect it to grow so much. So there's lots of things I learned. I needed to harness the ad people more. I learned I needed to have marked up the price. I didn't have enough margin at that time on my product. And so, you know, there's things you learn that you just don't realize, like, I had offered it to the whole world. I shouldn't have. I should have only offered it to the United States, because shipping internationally, I had put, like, you have to pay, like, I don't know, $15 for international shipping. Well, pretty much anyone I shipped to internationally, I lost money on because the shipping was more than that.
Yeah, the margins weren't there. Well, the early bird special on the Kickstarter, it was $59 with free shipping.
Yeah.
Versus today, what does this product cost?
So our battery powered one was $79.99. So after doing Kickstarter, we learned it had to be $79.99 in order to make a profit. And then we learned our product is $119 unless you subscribe. And if you subscribe to our Flossheads, then it's only $99.
And that is the other nice part about this business, is you have the upfront cost of the device, but then this is a subscription component too, right? Printers, you want to sell the ink. Razors, we want to sell the blades. Here, we want to sell the floss cartridge that goes into it. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So I think the secret sauce, the magic of our product is actually our floss heads. And if you were to say, like, what's the difference between you and the other knockoffs that are on Amazon? They don't have our floss head. It was actually funny, at a dental trade show, someone came up to me and I was like, hey, do you know about our Slake flosser, you know, pitching them? And they're like, actually, I tried to knock off your product and it was really hard and I couldn't do the head. And I was like, well, at least you're honest. So the floss heads are great because 20 of them last you 4 months. So as a consumer, the cost really isn't that high. It's only $4 a month to use our product, which if you were using string floss regularly, it's the same cost. So really the initial investment is in the flosser, and then our floss heads are comparable to the cost of floss. So each person needs between 2 to 4 packages a year, depending on how tight their teeth are. If you have really tight teeth, then you're going to break the floss more quickly than others. But because of that, I've learned on slow months, it's very, very nice to have a subscription because I know I can always be guaranteed a certain amount of money based off subscriptions.
You get that, that monthly recurring revenue, nothing sweeter.
Yeah, I can see why, you know, tech companies really like that. But for us, as a consumer product, it's very nice to have the subscription.
So after the Kickstarter, you have the Kickstarter, but you discover quickly, like, hey, this isn't necessarily profitable the way we priced it. And you can't continue sales through a Kickstarter once it's over. Where do you go from there?
Yeah, so we jumped onto Shopify, and I love Shopify. I've learned so many things about Shopify, but if you're an e-commerce company selling a consumer product, you should be using Shopify.
I'm happy to hear it, but I'm a little biased.
Yeah.
So you're on Shopify. You're also on Amazon as well, right?
Yes. We didn't do Amazon right away. We were very nervous about knockoffs. And now I've learned that is a real thing. So we got on Amazon on September of 2023. And by January, I think, we had knockoffs.
Oh, geez.
So, but the great thing is I know if someone bought theirs and ours, they would be able to see the difference in quality of our product. And no company has our gum sweeps, which is the secret sauce of our product.
So if you did it again, would you list on Amazon?
100%.
Even with the knockoffs?
Yes. The one thing that was really hard, 1 year later, the next September, so just a few months ago, somehow we got shut down on Amazon for 5 days, and it made us go from number one to number two. And we're spending our time right now hoping that we'll get back to being number one. But
and you knowing, mean like in your category?
Yeah, in our category. It's just so frustrating that someone can report you for something that you aren't. They reported us as a personal vibration device.
Its name is Electric Flosser, dentist invented. I mean, it's very clearly not a sexual wellness device. It is very obviously for dental hygiene. But that story's not unique. I've heard so many people tell me, like, oh yeah, you get fraudulent claims made against your listing and it gets taken down. And they're like, oh, you got to convince them otherwise.
So I feel like to bet on yourself, Shopify is a way better way to go. But people are looking for my product on Amazon. So I do feel like we need to exist in both. There are things that I really don't like about Amazon.
But it becomes, you know, at some point, it starts to feel like, well, this is a necessary evil.
Right. I do feel like it is a necessary evil. Before we had any competitors, it was super fun to be on Amazon. And now we have competitors. But I stand behind, I believe our product is the best product on the market. And consumers will figure that out. So,
do you have issues with returns fraud?
I don't know what that means, so I'm guessing no.
Okay, good. Good. For Shopify, for like your post-Kickstarter life, what has been some reliable customer acquisition channels? Because once you got the product going and you've got that initial audience, then the hard part is, all right, how do we keep filling the top of the funnel?
Yeah, so we do Meta and Google Ads, and we also do email, SMS, and then we go to dental trade shows so dentists know so they can recommend it to their patients. So that's kind of how our traffic is. And then we have a PR team that we try to reach out. So last year we were able to be on How I Built This, which was so exciting and so fun. And then we also were in some magazines like Men's Health. We won the Grooming Awards and Allure, Well and Good. Goop reached out to us and we got picked to be in their men's gift guide. So that was really cool. But overall, I think
a PR firm.
Yes. Well, actually, no. So we did have a PR firm, but I would say 75% of the organic traffic was actually just like outreach from those companies. Oh. So like Goop reached out to us. We didn't reach out to them. How I Built This, we applied ourselves, but our PR firm didn't apply. Like we had it. So in the last few months, we decided not to have a PR firm and to do all of our PR in-house. We'll let you know in a few months if that was a good decision or not.
You know, I think with any agency, you know, PR teams are agencies. It's about finding the right fit. And you know, I've had clients who are like, oh yeah, PR, you know, I just flushed 10 grand a month down the toilet. And others who are like, PR is so successful, we have hired another one, now we have two PR firms. And so I think, you know, it depends on, you know, just who you get teamed up with. I bring it up because PR is like a strategy, seems to be polarizing, and I don't think it should be, but I'm guessing it's just from some folks who had some bad experiences. But it's also, you know, a thing you absolutely could do internally. You know, a lot of it, it's just relationship building. It's a soft skill. It's not like learning to code. You've had that experience. You went from hiring to doing it internally. What's your experience been?
Well, I've learned that no one is as passionate about this product as I am or Dr. Snyder is. And so it was hard for me to feel like the PR firm was as passionate as I am. And my team is very passionate about it too. And so I can see the benefits of a PR firm.
I want to know.
It's hard to see ROI, whereas like Meta and Google, you know exactly how much money you made by putting that in. So.
You're right. There's no, it's a lot tougher to track return on investment with PR other than like guesses as to earned media. So you are excited about that product. About this product, but initially you were skeptical, right? You didn't necessarily want the extra workload in your life. What's the moment when you said, "Man, this will succeed"?
As soon as the hygienist backed it, I knew that it was going to be successful because it was so much easier for me to floss. I have 5 children; they were all flossing. I was like, "Okay, 5 kids are flossing. I'm flossing. Hygienists love it. This is just going to work." But I knew I had to have marketing behind it. I was like, you can have a great product and no marketing and it's not going to do well. Or you can have great marketing and the product will do good for a while, but then it might not succeed. Good marketing is hard.
With that marketing, your Shopify store, slateflosser.com, it leans educational. It does a really good job of trying to explain the product, like the benefit, how it works. Social proof, the hope, because you sell one product plus a subscription. So the homepage really is like a long form landing page. It's a sales page. It's really good.
Oh,
tell me
you.
About it. What went into it?
Yeah. So we actually like go back and forth because it's very educational and we're wondering if it's like too scientific. But that was just, you know, like last week as we were brainstorming, we're like, do people care that our company is dentist backed? Do people care about the science? So we're still, I believe at this point, yes, that's why we've done it like this for a whole 2 years. But what we've seen is as we educate people, it gives them the ability to take charge of their oral health. And that's what we want as a company. Our mission is to educate. So people know like why they need to floss. We all know we need to floss, but why are we doing this task? Well, it's going to help you not have dementia. It's going to help you not have heart disease. It's going to help you if you're diabetic. It's going to help you with your lungs, COPD, your eyes, inflammation, like gut health. It's so intertwined with your whole body.
The unofficial Shopify podcast is sponsored in part by Zipify, and they've got the ugly truth about direct-to-consumer sales to share with you. And spoiler, it's really ugly. 82% of the people who buy from your store once will never buy from you again, and there's nothing you could do to win them back. That's why you need to get as much revenue as you can from each order. And that's where OneClick Upsell comes in. OneClick Upsell is a Shopify app that offers your customer upsells and cross-sells with every purchase, and it can increase your average order value by 15%. With OneClick Upsell, you can add AI-powered upsell funnels to every product on your store in just three clicks, including your product pages, shopping cart, checkout, thank you page, and even on the shop app, so you earn extra revenue automatically. OneClick Upsell is already the number one choice for 15,000 Shopify stores, and guess what? It's made merchants like you an extra $750 million. So don't miss out on another dollar in free upsell revenue. Try OneClick Upsell today and start making 10 to 15% more from every customer today. Go to zipify.com/Kurt to start your 30-day free trial. That's zipify.com/KURT. This homepage, have you ever done any split testing? I mean, that'd be one, could be a way to figure out what copy converts better.
Yes, we are working on doing different A/B testing. We've also learned I am not my customer. I've learned.
We all make that mistake. We learn the hard way.
Yeah. So we're excited. We're doing a lot more A/B testing. I felt like last year we were growing really fast, and because of it, it almost felt like we were drowning. Like every day we're just trying to make sure that we could do the next thing. And this year we're trying to make more strategic choices, do more A/B testing, and slow down a little bit to hopefully help us grow more.
It sounds like there were points where the success was overwhelming, you know, but good problem to have, but stressful. Tell me about that. How so? What were the issues?
So cash flow and supply chain, you don't really think about those when you aren't in this. It's like our product, we have an MOQ of 15,000, so that's $500,000. So I have to have $500,000 every time I put an MOQ in. And if I don't have the 500,000, you know, like, how am I? It's just like cash. It's cash flow, because we grew so much last year. I was having to air freight product, which is costs more money than putting it on a boat.
But significantly.
I didn't want to be out of stock. And so I made the decision to spend more on shipping. So I think that until February, I was a one-person team with contractors. I didn't have any help. And then I was able to get an awesome teammate, Caroline Scheibel, and she helped us. And then in September, we were both like, if we don't get more help, we're going to die. So she hired one person to help her. I hired one person to help me. And it's just been a really good learning curve. I also read the book, Who Not How, and that really changed, like, who I'm hiring really does matter. Because sometimes I'm annoyed that I'm hiring agencies, but they know how to do stuff. And
what
so
tell me about Who Not How. What was your takeaway?
If I want my company to grow, who I hire is more important than the process. If I hire the right people, they're going to be able to execute the right things. And so when I read this book, I just was like, okay, are the teammates I have the right people? Are they going to help us get us where we need to go? Or like, okay, Caroline and I don't know a lot about marketing. We know a lot about flossing. We know a lot about like maybe $1 million company, but we want to be a $50 million company. So how do we market like that? And so then we're like, okay, do we need to hire a CMO? It just changed my perspective a lot. And made me be like, okay, the agencies are worth it because they know their craft so well.
Certainly, starting and scaling is full of ups and downs, and you've not been without your challenges. How have you stayed motivated through this process when things get tough?
Well, I love running a business. It's super fun to me. So really for me, when I get overwhelmed, it's because I'm doing too many things and I don't have enough time. So what I've learned is I need to hire more people. As long as I can hire more people and not feel like a failure as a mom, because having five kids is a lot of time too. But it's hard to hire people. I hire and unfortunately fire a lot, because 50% of hires, I heard a stat that 50% of hires are bad. So I think for me, I wish I thought I had a good people detection skills, but so I think it's tough. As a startup person, I would tell you, like, if you hire someone and they're not working out, it's okay to let them go.
I think that's good advice. What's one other piece of advice you would give entrepreneurs starting out or facing their own challenges?
So for me, I care a ton about finance. I'm not willing to do this for free, and I want it to be profitable. So for me, get your numbers right.
Do we know margin contribution when we say our numbers right? Where are people getting it wrong? I mean, for you, it sounds like you need to be able to do inventory forecasting and really know your cash flow.
Yeah, so we have a 16-week projection, like really ironed in, and then we have a year projection, a 3-year projection, and a 5-year projection, just so that we can guess. Like, but what I've learned is all projections are just ideas. But having the ideas at least give us the ability to create a plan. I feel like when my numbers are right, I feel much more confident in my decisions. So we have budgets for all the different things that we're doing, and we try to make sure we're always in those budgets.
Yeah, currently it's a single product business with a subscription. How do you look at growth, scaling and expansion? Is it considering new products or just figuring out, all right, how do we expand our current market?
Yeah, so we did a few things. Last year we did like different colors. So we have more colored floss heads now. We're also working on other ways to innovate our floss head. And then we are wanting to come out with a travel case and different a kid or a travel flosser. So we're going to expand. We're trying to maybe do like 1 to 2 new products a year over the next few years.
And yeah, I want to go back to the knockoff problem, because you're really the only one who built a product like this. And then knockoffs that do not achieve the same thing, but that's not immediately obvious to someone shopping on Amazon. I understand what sets you apart. How do you communicate that?
We don't know the answer to that, but we're trying. So what we've learned is, like, on Amazon, it's like, how is your product looking? Does it look like it was designed by Americans? So like in our listing, we talk about recyclability. We show a picture of Dr. Snyder. We try to educate people through our listing pictures.
And I think that is one of the things that people experienced on Amazon figure out, that people who are pure Shopify sellers don't necessarily notice. You can learn a lot from those Amazon listings and apply it to Shopify product pages, including the Amazon listings often pack a lot of info into the photos that they put in their product media. It's you could tell a story with product media. I think that is a clever way to differentiate. Looking back, if you could start over, what's one thing you'd do differently on a second time around?
I probably would have jumped on the bandwagon sooner with my husband, because what kind of happened is, like, he ran it and then he was overwhelmed, and so I took it over. It would have been nicer if I would have started sooner, so I didn't have it was like a 6-month learning curve. I think that would have helped the company a lot. I was like, I also probably would have hired Caroline sooner, but I didn't know she existed and I was stressed out, but I would have had more help sooner.
For sure. I mean, it's easy. Hindsight's 20/20. And so it's easy to go like, man, when you make good decisions, it's so easy to go like, well, why didn't I do that sooner? It's like, well, because you didn't know it was going to be successful. There was a risk there. But oftentimes your instinct is the right one, and you just got to trust it, I think is what I'm hearing. If you were to have gone back and jumped on 6 months sooner and hired sooner, what advice would you give your past self?
I think just believe in yourself. If you know your product is good, just be passionate and excited and go for it. I put in a lot of work. You know, people usually ask, like, is this luck or is it hard work? Is it definitely a lot of hard. The harder you work, the luckier you get.
Ah, yes. I love the concept of a luck sale. Luck and opportunity is a thing you could create for yourself, but you can't do nothing and expect things to happen for you. That's been my approach in, you know, life and entrepreneurship. Man, I want one of these. Where can I go to get a Slate Flosser?
Well, I love it when you get it from our website, so slateflosser.com or Amazon. If you get it from Amazon, I'd love if you'd give us a review. That makes a huge difference for us. But those are the two places right now, or tell your dentist about it because dentists around the country do sell it in their office.
You know, I actually did, as we were doing this interview, I was like, I'm 100% asking my hygienist if they're familiar with the Slate Flosser the next time I'm in there.
Yeah, we have a dental professional program. So if any dentists or hygienists want to try it, they just need to contact us and we have a special discount for them.
Oh, very good. Yeah. You know what? I'm bringing it up. I'm going to try it. I'm going to use it. And when they cannot believe how wonderfully clean my mouth is, give all credit to the Slate Flosser.
Okay. Yeah, it's been fun. We notice we get reviews usually 6 months after someone buys the product because they actually go to their dentist appointment and their hygienist says, like, what are you doing differently? Your mouth looks so good.
Always thrilling to impress the dentist or hygienist. So, but Britton Snyder, Slate Flosser, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I do love Shopify.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.